Is he? Who? Hilton, was he? The Hilton, your opposition. Sorry about that, Paul. Anyway, we're looking. He says, it won't start. And all of a sudden he goes, no battery. No, no battery. You got no battery. Because he couldn't lift. There was no hood. He said, L300, it's got flat. I said, no. He was confused because he honestly didn't believe there was no battery. No battery. Anyway, I don't even know why I said that. But my iPad's got battery. And I want to talk this morning on the Word of the Lord. The title of my message is The Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord. We're living in times where your time, my time, has been so constrained, so demanded upon, that I really believe, you know, Jesus tells us to redeem time, buy it back, get it back. And such is the pressure on families, such is the pressure on marriages, such is the pressure on kids, specifically kids, that their time is being utilized, I believe, in a not a healthy way. Not a healthy way. But we need as people to redeem time so we can not just hear a good sermon, not just watch YouTube, not just hear worship music in the background, which I do the same thing. I watch YouTube, I do the same thing. I listen to a sermon, I do the same thing. But that is not reading the Word. That can never replace you reading your Word. And more than ever before, we're seeing people reading their Bibles, are struggling to read their Bibles more and more. A lot of it's because they are so tired because of the week, and they might just put a tape on or whatever. Nothing wrong with that. That's all good stuff. But it doesn't replace reading the Word. I'm going to ask for a show of hands, and please be honest with yourself. Who struggles reading the Word? A lot of us struggle reading our Bibles. A lot of things will distract us to read our Bibles. A lot of opposition will come. And hear me, the enemy wants this exactly how it is. He wants people busy. He wants people distracted. He wants people with another something else to do besides. And who understands there's always something else to do? My daughter said to me the other week, she goes, Dad, when we finish the house? And I stopped her. I said, stop. She goes, what? I says, you'll never finish the house. It'll never be finished. There's always something to do around a house. Amen? We've got to prioritize. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this. You have got it. I know I've sent it. All Scripture is breathed out by God. All Scripture is breathed out by God. It is not just a concept of terminologies or ideas or good stories or history book. It is not that. It is the very breath of God Himself breathed upon, where man used his hand and he was filled and breathed upon to write the Scriptures that we are reading today. It is not a concept made up. It's not man's wisdom. It's not a storyline where things just follow in. In fact, the Bible means books. These books. These books are the very inspiration and the breath and the life of God Himself being given to us. That's why when you and I read our Bible, we will get what we call a revelation. Something's been revealed to us. It is because the Spirit, if you're born again here this morning, the Spirit within you bears witness to the Spirit of the Word being spoken to you as you're reading it, and there is an illumination of that Word given to you by the Spirit of God, or by the very breath of God, or the life of God Himself. That's why it's important to read your Bible, because you're now partaking not just of a book on words or wisdom or the counsel of God. You're partaking and eating of the very life of God. That's why you've heard people say, this is a living word. And literally, it is. It is a living word from the very breath of God Himself. That's why you and I need to partake and sit down with Him. Have your, what we call in church circles, your quiet time. Your quiet time. Separated from things and stuff. Things and stuff will always be there. You will not solve that problem within 2 minutes. It'll still be there. Don't worry. That problem, you'll go back to your problem in 2 or 3 minutes. Read your Bible. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put in the kingdom of God first means, Lord, you're my priority. Lord, you are the one I want to commune with first more than anything else. All scriptures breathed out by God, the Greek word is theopneus, means breath or wind, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. The word will correct you. The word will rebuke you. The word will encourage you. The word will comfort you. The word will speak to you things that no other person can speak to you about. Because revelation from Him and His breath and His life knows the very situation you are in. I don't know how many times I've read the Bible, to be honest. I really don't. But I know this. When I read it, I will get something out of it. Some nugget will flow to me. Some life will come to me. And it's this life that He gives me that keeps me sure and motivated that He is the great I am. That He is in absolute control. I might have read that 40 times, 50 times, never saw it. Then all of a sudden one day, the Spirit of the Word witnesses with my spirit within me saying, have you ever saw that? And the same thing for the person that might read the same scripture, might see a totally different thing because it's unique and relevant for their life. And it'll speak to them. Have you saw that? And all of a sudden, this revelation then gives me confidence and courage and faith. But if I never go to the Word, if I never read my Bible, I'm sorry to say we're going into a warfare without a sword. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Therefore, put on the armor of God. The sword is the word of God. If I'm not in the Word of God, maybe you haven't got a sword. Maybe you just got a dagger. Maybe you're fighting the enemy with a 6-foot pole and you've got a little 1-inch dagger. You need to draw from the things of God, the revelations of God. He wants to speak to you. God desires to speak to you. He longs to speak to you. He longs to commune with us. It's the way God expects us to live. This book, this revelation of His Word, this breath of heaven is the way He expects us to live. The instructions of how to live, how to act, how to speak, how to look to a person, how to react is all in this book, this living Word. The truth is, it's not just a random book, a random story. It is written by the man's hand. That would have been inspired by the Holy Ghost that came upon them. They didn't even know what they were writing. God did it. And He did it so you and I can live a victorious life. Where when someone will let you down. Anyone ever had someone let them down? Thanks, I appreciate that honesty. Where someone will let you down. Even in a marriage, someone will let you down. Praise the Lord. He's the one that will not let you down. He won't let you down. You mightn't see it immediately. You mightn't receive it when you expect it, but he won't let you down. The book is direction, wisdom, counsel, and love, which leads me to life. When you read the inspired word, his spirit reveals the hidden mysteries of that word. To those who seek and search it out, the breath in it and upon it gives the reader what we call in church revelations. Who desires to walk by revelation? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every revelation from his mouth. You can't get that revelation until you start reading the book. It ain't going to fall from heaven. In your yesterday's manner, hear me, if you've been in Christendom a long time and you're relying on your yesterday's manner, it will start to stink because it will not be relevant for your problem today. You need fresh revelation. Give unto us our daily bread. I need fresh revelation. I need to know the things of God daily. Can I hear an amen? We need to get into gear because I'm telling you, we're living in dire times. Dire times. You go to China, you go to the Chinese church, they'll rip a Bible apart and they'll give each one a piece of a Bible. They revere that. They will read it till they wear the print off it. When I was in India and you give a prophetic word, there was reverence. They were prostrate. They would lie down and thinking that God is actually going to speak to them. But I think we got so consumed, we got such a consumer mentality in the Western church. We got so much stuff. So much stuff. I mean, honestly. What's them things called? Earpods or whatever they're called? Earbuds? iPads? iPods? iPhones? Samsung watches? iWatches? iTunes? No tunes? God help us, tunes. We got that much to Instagram. We won't go there this morning. Instagram. Facebook. All these things that give you this concept of community. And people ticking like and love hearts and stuff and oh wonderful and da-da-da. Then all of a sudden you see them talking about them behind their back on another Instagram page. It's ridiculous. And then I haven't really read my Bible today. I'll get to it. I'm tired. I'm going to bed. You ever done this to yourself? Get your phone. Put on a weekly check. I do this to my phone. And I look at how much time I've spent on each app I've clicked. I know someone that spent 2.5 hours yesterday on an app. 2.5 hours. 2.5. I mean, you could cook a 3-course meal in 2.5 hours. Yeah, praise the Lord.
It wasn't me, all right?
I'll just take a wide berth. But it's true. And we're no different from each other. We can get consumed in stuff. Hello? But the living with the very breath of God is waiting for me to consume him. So he can reveal things to me to live a better life. A life full. Amen? Fullness of life. And here's another one, parents. Don't fall into this trap. Don't give an iPad to your kids for babysitting. Don't do it. The same breath that caused Adam, who was formed, to come alive is this breath. Adam was formed by God, created by God. But he didn't become a living nephesh, a living soul, till the breath of God entered him. That same breath enabled him to stand. That same breath enabled him to get up and get moving into the concept and the very requirements that God had on his life. The breath of God. You know, the Word of God and the breath of God, the very spirit of the Word of God will give you the capacity to get up. It'll give you the capacity to walk where you need to walk and do what is required of you and be obedient to the call of God. Because the very spirit of the Word, the very spirit of the Word living inside of you, Christ himself. That's why when you get a revelation, that revelation is an illumination from the very spirit of God himself in Christ. It enabled Adam to get up. Enabled Adam to fill the call of God. Enabled Adam to do what God required him to do. Do you know it empowers you? For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. There's power in the gospel. When you speak the gospel, you're not just speaking words, you're speaking life and power to someone. It can change someone's life. Do you believe that? As we speak the word, Isaiah 43 says this, verse 1. Jacob, whom I've created, Jacob, whom I've formed, Israel, whom I've created, same man. Same man. When you allow the word to get inside of you, when you allow the word to permeate into your spirit, and change this mind concept. The Jacob in all of us, because every one of us are born a Jacob. A liar, cheater, supplanter, a man of the flesh. All of us are a Jacob. But that spirit, that word of God, changes me to what he desires for me to become an Israel of God. And it won't just happen when it falls out of heaven. Help me, Jesus. It's not going to happen unless you and I put the effort in that we can reveal the Christ to the world, the hope of glory, the Christ in you. When the Holy Ghost breathed into you, if you're born again, he breathed into you. The Holy Spirit dwells where? In you. The very breath of God dwells, the personage of God dwells within you. When in the upper room, in the book of Acts, it said there came a sound of a mighty rushing what? The breath of God filled the whole house. He wants to fill every portion of my life. He wants the word to challenge me, correct me, rebuke me, chasten me, yet love me and comfort me. In the midst of a rebuke, I can still feel his arms. But too many Christians are running from here and thither looking for a word. A word here and a word there and a word here and a word there, or a sermon here and a sermon there. And they're all, don't get me wrong, sermons are good. Listen to them. But never at the expense of reading your Bible. Where do you think he got it from? Where do you think he got his revelation from? From probably another sermon. No, sorry, Jesus. From the book. Same breath of God, the Holy Spirit that entered born-again believer to form Christ in you, the hope of glory. But there are challenges around the church, especially today's church, demanding and trying to enslave us and to not redeem our time. Hear me. We're in a warfare. You're in a battle for your time. You're in a battle for time. In my day, it wasn't so much a battle for time. I knew what time I finished work. I knew exactly when I was going to finish work. And if I worked on a Saturday, I'd get time and a half, then double time. If I worked on a public holiday like a Christmas day or a Boxing Day, I'd get triple time. But now, see, even the world put value on your time for them days. But now, no. There's an expectation. If you don't finish it at work, take it home. Then it encroaches on your family's time, your kids' time, your wife's time, your husband's time. And all of a sudden, you've got no time. And all of a sudden, you're looking at each other saying, what's the time? Should we go to bed? Can you hear what I'm saying? We've got to redeem time. I've got to prioritize my time. I've got to give God first, and He will give me that extra that I need. He will give you wisdom where you need it. He will give you the counsel that you need. Bible says in the last days there's going to be a famine of the word. I'm going to repeat that. I'll rephrase that actually. The Bible says in the last days there's going to be a famine of hearing the word. There's going to be plenty of word. This our generations today have got so much word. You got it on tape. No, you haven't got it on tape anymore. They're out. You got it on CDs. You got it on MP3s. You got it on MP4s. You got YouTube. You got GodTube. You got TV. You got God TV. You got everything. You got every faculty, every way of knowing to get the word. It's everywhere. The problem is, the Father says in Amos chapter 8, there'll be a famine of hearing the word. Not word, plenty of word. Plenty of word. But hearing the word. Turn with me to Amos chapter 8. I don't think I've got it up there. Amos chapter 8, 11 and 12. It says this, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not of a famine of bread nor of thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Why? Why will there be a famine of hearing the words of the Lord? What's stopping people hearing the word of the Lord? Because they're not in a position to hear. They're so busy. They're so busy. They can't hear. Not that they haven't got an ear to hear. If you're born again, you have an ear to hear. We just don't apply the hearing. What we want, someone give me a word to give me the answer, instead of seeking Him and searching it out for yourself. The greatest teacher you can ever have is the Holy Spirit. The greatest teacher you could ever have is the Holy Spirit. Peter 4, verse 12 and 19 says this. "Beloved, do not be surprised by the fiery trials which when I come upon you to test you." I'm going to say that one line again. "Beloved, don't be surprised by the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice in the and be glad when His glory is revealed." Verse 14. "If you are insulted for the name of Jesus Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as for a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God in that name, for it is the time for judgment to begin at the household of God." 1 Peter chapter 4, New Testament. Judgment begins. Not out there. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will be become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will and trust their souls to be a faithful creator while doing good. In other words, what he's saying is this: trials will come. Not if, not could, they will come. Persecutions will come. Trouble will come. I know this is not a feel-good message, sorry. Persecutions will come. Peter's saying, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer in all of it, because you have an anchor to your soul and you can rejoice. The reason I can rejoice is this, because I know the book. I know what it's talking to me about. I know the end of the book. I know the triumph in the book. I know that my God will never give me any more than I can handle because that's what the book says. I know what the book says. But if you don't know what the book says, if you're still going on your yesterday's crusts, and that's how he intimidates Christians. That's how the devil intimidates the Christians today. Because, God forgive you. Because a lot of Christendom and a lot of young Christendom right now don't know their word. They can dance, they can jump, they can froth and they can have their bubbles. They can have their ice-making machines and they can have all this. But if they walk out empty and not pregnant with the word of God, what's the point? I better, when Peter said, was offended by what Jesus said, he said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part of me. Peter was offended. The 120 had already left him because they were offended. Peter was offended. He was a Jew. Of course he's offended. Then Jesus turns around to him and says, will you leave me also? Do you think Jesus was going to change his message to keep someone? Do you think Jesus was trying to win a popularity contest? Peter, will you leave me also? This is what he said. Where can I go, Lord? For you have the words of what? That's it. Peter wasn't following Jesus for a personality. Peter wasn't following Jesus for a miracle. Peter was following Jesus for what came out of his mouth. It fed him. It changed him. It challenged him. This same Peter got a revelation. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus starts to reveal what he has, that he must die. Peter, being pumped up. Upon this rock I shall build my church. Simon, now called Peter, little rock, from a reed driven by the wind to a little rock. Jesus pulls him aside and says, get behind me, Satan. Now here's the key words. You are not mindful of the things of God. What is my mind full of? If you're not in the Word, what is my mind full of? You are not mindful of the things of God. In other words, if you knew me, you'd know my ways. A lot of Christians are rebuking, they're worn out rebuking, trouble and circumstances and situations. I'm not saying every circumstance situation God does. No, he doesn't. But he uses them. But what if I changed my attitude and said, Lord, I embrace where I'm at and I trust you. I embrace where I'm at because I trust you. Isaiah 55 says, his word will not return void to me. If God has spoken something, he'll do it. I can hang my hat on it. I can rest in it. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep in the midst of my storm. If he said it, it'll happen. The word of God is life. In John 6:33, it says, the words that I've spoken, they are spirit and they are life. They're not just words. They are spirit. They are life. The power of the word in Matthew 4 tells us that we do not live by the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of his mouth. Good. Job 23:12 says, I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. I've treasured the words of how much do I hunger for his word? How much do I hunger for his word? Every word that comes from God should be more precious to us than food itself. It's life. It ain't a book. You're opening up a book of life. And I've got a heap of scriptures there for you to read. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The next slide, I think it is. Matthew 4 and 4 says, man shall not live by bread. I've read that. Luke 11, 28, he replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word and obey it. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Through obedience to the truth, it leads to a sanctified life. I will not know the truth. I will not know what makes me free. Everything the word speaks of, it speaks of Christ. I will not know that I'm free unless I read the book. Psalm 119, 11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It stops me. It challenges me. The word challenges me to stop sinning. It reveals what sin is to me. Not my concept of sin, not my mindset of sin. What the word says about sin. He who looks upon a woman and lusts after her, he's committed adultery. My flesh wouldn't say that. My flesh would never have said that. In fact, you go around all the blokes. As a young man, you go to the, when I was going to the pub, that was normal to look upon a woman. It was normal to say, she's good, she's lovely, she's cute. But when I read the Bible, it says, he who looks upon a woman and lusts after her has already committed adultery in his heart. Stops you looking. Makes you check what you're looking at. Makes you check what you're hearing. 190, there's actually 50 references to this in Psalm 119. 50 times it talks about the word. 50 times. He says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. My soul melts for the heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. There's strength in the word. Strengthen me. My soul melts because of heaviness. I'm weighed down. I can't get out. I feel weighed down. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Take my yoke upon yourself. I would not have known that. That's said in the word. I'm burdened. The folding of your words gives light. There is comfort in my affliction because of your word. You're my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Your ears shall hear a word behind you. I love this one. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way to walk in it. Wherever you turn to the right hand or wherever you turn to the left, you'll hear a word. When the devil tries to distract you this way or distract you that way, the word will start to speak to you. The engrafted word in your heart will start to speak. Don't go there. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. The breath of heaven. Don't do that. Don't go there because there's a deposit of the word in your spirit, man. But if he can stop you getting to the word, all you've got is Uncle Pete's sermon or Auntie Jane's prophecy. How do I get to the word? No. Should write a book on this. I'll make a million. How do I get to the word? How do I stop right now and say, today is the day I turn back to the word? Do you know, I really believe you turning back to the word is your day of revival. It'll revive your spirit. It'll quench the thirst in your soul. It will give you a confidence beyond the natural ability to think or speak. How do I return back to the word? Obey. Nike says it like this. Just do it. There is no formula. There is no lay hands on me. Impart into me the gift that's on your life to read the Bible. Oh, I feel the fuzz. No, that's not it. Won't happen. How does it happen? You dedicating yourself to it. Sometimes you mightn't hear a thing. Sometimes you think the heavens are like brass. You say, God, I can't hear you right now. Then you open up your Bible and boof, there it is. A revelation that will keep you in your storm. A revelation that will anchor your soul in confidence when everything else is beating around you. When you don't know what to do, He'll show you how to do it. We've got to be hungry for the Word. We've got to be students of the Word. We've got to allow this Word to leave a deposit in me. One of the most important reasons you've got to be as a parent, important reasons is to be a student of the Word. Because when your kids come home from school one day with questions, and believe me, they will, they'll come to you for an answer. And you better be prepared to give them one. And when they're 15, 16, and they might be going through a valley, you know, the cycle of rushing up and down, wondering, is it all true? When they see you from a young age opening up your book, studying your Word, reading your Bible, praying to your God, singing melodies to Him at your home, in your home, in your room. When they see that, they think Christianity is normal. It's normal. A second generation child, born again believer's child, struggles, their greatest struggle is this, identity. As a first generation born again believer in my house, I know what I got saved from. I know what He saved me from. I know my testimony. My children just went to church. They just went to church. They clapped, they sung, they hallelujahed. Then all of a sudden, one of them turned 14, and I thought I had a devil in the house. Please hear my heart. This doesn't happen just in my home. I thought I had a devil at home. She won't mind me saying this. My daughter's testimony is this. I watched you read every day. I watched you pray every day. I watched you cry. I watched you sing your song. In fact, I watched you so much I told you to shut up. Sing your songs. I watched you. I saw that. And that challenged me. Even though this was drawing me, I knew the truth because of what I saw. That changed your life forever. Your walk is not just a benefit for you to read the book, get a revelation, look good, may be able to preach or whatever you're going to do. You are being established as a testimony for your future generation. You're being built as the 67th book of the Bible, a living epistle being able to be read by all men. What am I mindful of? Romans 12:2 says this, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think it's Colossians 3 says this, by the washing of the water. Is it Colossians 3? Where is it? Ephesians 5. Pretty close. Okay. By the washing of the water of the Word of God. The washing of the water by the what? The washing of the water by the what? The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. There's a washing and a covering by the Word of God. But if there's no word, if there's no word spoken in the house, if there's no word preached in the house, if there's no word standing on the house, who's going to do the washing? Are we all right? We're still breathing? I want to challenge you. I can see the days approaching, but I can also see where his bride is right now. And she'll get deceived. There's going to be great deception cover the face of the earth. And he's going to preach a gospel. Hear me. That Antichrist spirit is going to preach a gospel. And it will sound good news to a lot of people. He's going to fix the economy. He's going to fix the problems in society. He's going to do this and he's going to do that. It all sounds wonderful. And also, and people will be swept on it. But his whole basis is to kill, steal, and destroy. Kill, steal, and destroy. You've got to know your word. Has anyone got an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying this morning? You've got to get into your word. Enjoy your word. If you really dedicate yourself to the word, it will become an all-consuming fire. You'll not want to put it down. Because when he reveals revelation, you want more. It's like he sucks you in. You know, it's like a game of golf for you. Anyone played golf? You play 9 holes or 18 holes. You play 17 holes really bad. And you have one good hit. Just one. Just one out of 90, you get one good hit. You know what you say to yourself? Great, I'll come back next week. Right? You've had 90 bad ones. But you celebrate that good one. And it sucks you right back in. Hey? Praise the Lord. I spent more time in the bush than on the fairway. But I want to encourage you. And I'm going to leave you with this because I've spent too much time. Ephesians 5:26, you're right, love. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2 says this. If then you are raised with Christ Jesus, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Sometimes you see people fall away. Sometimes you see people wander away from God. That's one of the greatest challenges in my life, is not to be worried about why they fell away, but to check what I'm rooted in for myself. What am I rooted in? Where do I draw from? What do I feed off? For you are like trees of righteousness planted by the Lord. How's my root system? What's my root system feeding off? What fruit does my tree bear? Because the fruit is revealed to everyone. What am I mindful of? I want to lay a challenge. I'm going to lay a challenge. I want you to read your Bible every day for a week. I'm not asking you to read how much to read. I want you to get into routine at a certain time of the day, every day, at a certain time. Make it a certain time, every day. Right? Yeah, set an alarm on your iPad. Interrupt YouTube. Every day you set a time. And you say, I'm going to read my Bible for half an hour. Half an hour. Let us all read together. All read together. Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. You can read Ephesians 1 and 2 in half an hour. Believe me. We'll read Ephesians 1 and 2. And next week, I won't ask you any questions because I'm not preaching. But the following week, I will. And we'll talk about it for a minute. I'm going to provoke you to good work. West Point City Church, I'm going to provoke you to good works. There is more in you than what you can even imagine or think. And God needs it out of you. Amen? He's given you a living word. Not any word, a living word that can bring life to a dead soul. Let's stand. My wife leaves on Tuesday. My wife leaves on Tuesday to go and see our daughter and our grandchildren and my son-in-law. I won't forget him. She's going to be preaching at some ladies' meetings. She's so much into the Word. Please pray for my wife. Amen. I won't have her for 10 days. Number 10 means trials and tests. I embrace it. But I want to pray for people. I want to pray for people this morning. That the Word of God comes alive to you. God is no respecter of persons. Hear me, He's not. He desires to speak to you as much as He speaks to me. He's no respecter of persons at all. He has some hidden mysteries that He wants to reveal to you about you, your house, your family, your kids. He wants to reveal things even for business. Stepping stones in life, He wants to reveal them to you. That you have the mindset of God in everything you do. So when a decision has to be made, you've got the mindset of Jesus. Amen. If you're willing to take up the challenge with me, let's just raise our hands this morning and say, yes, Jesus, I need to be a student of that word. I want to be a student of your word. I need to get back into reading your word. Some of you have an heritage, fathers and mothers before you that have been in the word, women and men of the word of God, and you've left it. God's going to provoke that in you. God's going to restore that in you. Amen. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. We come committed to you. We say, Father, we want to be. We want to receive that revelation of your word, that revelation of that light, that we might be men and women of your word. We might be men and women, Father, that not just know of you, but know you. Father, we thank you that you reside within each born-again believer here this morning. That your word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I thank you, Father, for a rearmament of your people, for an army to be raised, full of the truth and full of your word. So when the devil comes, just like your first son Jesus, he spoke the word and he had to flee. God, fill our mouths with your word that we will see strongholds broken. Demons flee. Houses released in the name of Jesus. Altars established. Kingdom of darkness dispersed. And the kingdom of God established in the name of Jesus Christ. Let every parent, Father, be a student of the word so that their other eyes that's in that house can look and see, this is normal. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the power of your gospel. We thank you we have an ear to hear what your spirit says. Father, give us the courage to be obedient to your word. In Jesus' name. If that's you this morning, you shout an amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Good. Praise the Lord. Straight away, there'll be a struggle. Straight away, he's going to chuck down a challenge. Rebuke the devourer of your time. Rebuke him. Redeem your time. Sit with him, that he can sit with you. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week, success week. I really feel also, if there's sickness in people's bodies, we prayed, I know we prayed this morning, but if there is sickness in your body, I would like to anoint you before you leave here. Amen. I'd like to know, if you've got sickness in your body, you come to the front. I really believe there's an anointing here this week to lay hands on the sick that they will recover in Jesus' name.